Greetings, friends, and welcome back to our discussion on the phrases under the law and under grace. In our last program, I showed you how under the law is tied to the old covenant and how under grace is tied to the new covenant. And we proved that from Galatians, the fourth chapter. Also, in the last program, I explained how it's really about our motivation for doing what we do. If we're under law, we have a certain motivation for doing what we do. And if we're under grace, we have a different motivation for doing what we do. An example I gave was about taking out the garbage. As an example of being under the law, taking out the garbage, I might take out the garbage because I want to get something. I say, honey, I'm going to take out the garbage if you cook dinner. And as long as she cooks dinner, I take out the garbage. If she stops cooking dinner, I stop taking out the garbage. But under grace is, there's no contract. Whether she cooks or not, I'm going to take out the garbage. Why? Because my motivation is love. I love her, so I don't want to leave garbage around and stink up the place and attract ants or roaches or rats and attract diseases. I don't want to do that because I love her. So I take out the garbage no matter what. In both cases, the garbage is taken out, but the motivation is totally different. One is an external pressure to get me to do what I need to do, i.e. take out the garbage. The external pressure is I want to get something, so if I want this food, I better take out the garbage. Whereas under grace, under the new covenant, there's no external pressure. It is something internal. It comes from my own heart. It comes from my own mind. I decide I want to do it because it's the right thing to do. I decide I want to do it because I love my wife. That's the difference. Now let's see the old covenant and the new covenant in Scripture. And when we get finished with this, we're going to compare the two so that you can see this difference in motivation for doing what they did. And this first one, the old covenant, is symbolic of being under the law. This is in Deuteronomy, the 9th chapter, in verses 7 through 14. This is the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 9, and verses 7 through 14. Here it says, "Remember and do not forget how you provoked God to wrath in the wilderness, from the day you departed out of the land of Egypt until you came to this place. You have been rebellious against Yahweh. Also in Horeb, which is Mount Sinai, you provoked Yahweh to wrath, so that Yahweh was angry with you, and he even wanted to destroy you. When I had gone up into the mountain to receive," now notice this is important, please pay attention to this, "when I had gone up into the mountains to receive the tablets of stone," or the two tables of stone, "which are the tables of the covenant which Yahweh made with you, then I stayed in the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. I neither ate bread nor drank. And Yahweh delivered to me two tables of stone written with the finger of God, and on them, according to all the words which Yahweh spoke with you in the mountain out of the midst of fire in the day of the assembly. And it happened at the end of 40 days and 40 nights that Yahweh gave me the two tables of stone, which are the tables of the covenant." This is, as you remember, the time when God spoke to all of Israel. Moses was there in the mountain, but God had spoken to all of Israel, and he spoke the Ten Commandments. These are what was written on the two tables of stone, and they're called the tables of the covenant because of the fact that God was entering into an agreement with Israel. And the agreement was, if you do certain things, you will receive certain things. And that's the way that they interacted or related to God. They were under the law, in that the law telling them what to do was the main motivation. But notice that it was written on two tables of stone. It was something that was external to them. And the stone represented the hardness in their hearts. That's why Moses was saying that from day one you've been rebellious. Now notice the rest of the story here. This is in verse 12. it says, "And Yahweh said to me, arise, get down quickly from here, for your people whom you have brought out of Egypt, they have become corrupted. They have quickly turned aside out of the way which I commanded them. They have made them a molten image. And Yahweh spoke to me, saying, I have seen this people, and behold, it's a stiff-necked people. Let me alone, so that I may destroy them and blot out their name from under the heavens. And Moses, I will make of you a nation mighty and greater than they are." See, that's what the problem was, is that the law was on stone instead of in their hearts. They had to have this external motivation. You better do this. You better do this, in order for them to be motivated to do it. And still, they didn't do it. And even when they did do it, they only did it to get something. That's what being under the law is all about. Now, under grace, this is the new covenant. Notice that it's a different motivation for doing what we do. The law is the same, but the motivation is different. Let's turn over to Hebrews chapter 8, and we'll read verses 6 through 10. This is Hebrews chapter 8, verses 6 through 10. "But now God has, or Jesus, has obtained a more excellent ministry, and therefore he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was built upon better promises." And that's a key thing. It's a better covenant because it was built upon better promises. "For if that first covenant had been without fault..." Now, does this mean that the first covenant was bad? No, it was a good covenant. It's just that this one is a better covenant. But this other covenant did have a fault. And what was the fault? Well, it wasn't the law. Get that out of your mind. The fault was not that the law was bad, because the law is good. Also, the law is eternal. You can find both of those statements in Romans chapter 7, where God says the law is good and the law is spiritual. So the law has not been done away with, and the law is not something bad. But what was the problem with the old covenant? What was the problem of being under the law? This is the answer in verse 8. It says, "For finding fault with them," with the Israelites. That's what the problem was, is they didn't have the heart, the motivation to follow God. That's what the problem was. They did not have the motivation to take out the garbage for the right reason, which is because they loved God, or because they loved their neighbors. They simply wanted to take out the garbage only when they felt like it was to their advantage, like they were going to get something. So that's what the problem was. That's what the fault was. They didn't have the heart to keep God's law for the right reasons. And so therefore God says to them that I'm going to make a new covenant with Israel, but not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them to lead them out of the hand of Egypt. And the reason why I'm not going to make that type of covenant is because they didn't continue in my covenant. So therefore, I just disregarded them. Now in verse 10, "For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws," the same laws, "I will put my laws not on two tables of stone, but into the two tables of their mind, and I will write them in their hearts." That's what God does. He puts his law into our minds and into our hearts. "And I will be their God, and they shall be my people." So whereas in the old covenant, God says that they did not continue in my covenant because the law was written on two tables of stone. It was external to them. In the new covenant, God says, "I'm going to put my laws into their minds and in their hearts." It will be something that's internal. Their motivation will come from within, and it will be because they love me, and they will continue in my covenant because they love me and they love their neighbors as themselves. So now let's go down to 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verses 2 through 6, because this is going to talk about both covenants. This is in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verses 2 through 6. Here it says, "You are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read by all men." So in other words, as you walk around, you are actually like an open letter that's been written to us because you're living a certain way of life. And in verse 3 it says, "You have made it plain that you are the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, not having been written with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on two tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart, and as we saw previously, of the mind. So that's the contrast. It's not written with ink on two tables of stone, but now it's written with the Spirit of the living God. It's God's Holy Spirit living in us to change our hearts, to change our minds, to give us a new heart and a new mind, the heart and mind of God. And God is love, right? And God defines love as loving Him and loving our neighbors as ourselves. And then he goes on to further explain that loving him is defined by the first four of the Ten Commandments, and loving our neighbors by ourselves is defined by the last six of the Ten Commandments. And you can see that in Romans chapter 13 and in other places. Now going back to 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 6, it says, God has made us able ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, which was the old covenant, but of the Spirit. That's the new covenant. For the letter kills, but the Spirit makes alive. Now, how does the letter kill? The letter kills in that people under the old covenant, who are living under the law, only had the motivation to do what was right because of what they could get. And even then, they didn't do the right things most of the time. And so, therefore, because they sinned, and the wages of sin is death, under the old covenant, under the law, under the letter of the law, they simply died. But under the new covenant, we have the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God gives us the heart and mind of God. So now, even though we do slip up in sin, God will forgive us, because now our hearts are set where we do want to do the right things for the right reasons. The right things is keeping all of God's law. The right reasons is because we love God and we love our neighbors as ourselves. So the Spirit makes us alive. It gives us the life of God. So in summary, let's go back and look at the two covenants. We'll see the differences. Under the old covenant, it was written on two tables of stone. Under the new covenant, it was written on two tables of our heart and mind. Under the old covenant, it was written with the finger of God. Under the new covenant, it's written with the Holy Spirit. Under the old covenant, Israel was weak in the flesh. Under the new covenant, Israel will be strong in the Spirit. And of course, the church now, which has the new covenant, is strong in the Spirit. Under the old covenant, Israel did not continue in the covenant. Under the new covenant, Israel will continue in the covenant. Under the old covenant, Israel earned death by the letter of the law. Under the new covenant, Israel will be given life by the Spirit of grace. So which would you rather be under? Under the law or under grace? Well, obviously you want to be under grace, but by no means does that mean that because you are not under law, that the law has been done away with. No. Very, very contrary to that, the law is still in existence, and in fact, the law is to be written on your heart and in your mind. And what that simply means is that your motivation, the reason why you do what you do, is always out of love.